It's again a great joy to be here this morning and to come and minister God's word to you. Amen. Happy Father's Day to every father here. Amen. I spoke to my son yesterday as I was driving, and I told my son that I miss him. And he said, "Dad, I miss you more." He's a seven-year-old. He's quite smart. He said, "I miss you more." So today I told him, "Joshua, you know," so he called me actually, and he said, "Happy Father's Day, Dad." And I said, "Thank you." And he showed me his card. He's drawn a card, and it's the father and the son walking together. So in his own way, he's drawn that. And he said, so I said, "I love you, Joshua." And he said, "I love you a lot." So he's an amazing kid. And one day you'll get to see him, maybe soon. In God's time, you'll get to see him. And so this morning I have a message. It's not my own message, but I believe that it's the message that God put on my heart early in the morning. I had several other, you know, thoughts to share this morning, some strong thoughts, you know, to share. But I believe that God wants me to share this message with you. And the title of my message this morning is Carrying the Legacy of the Father. Carrying the Legacy of the Father. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Joel. To the book of Joel. Joel chapter 1. And I'll be reading from verse 3. The Bible says, "Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." Hallelujah. God wants us to impact this generation. Hallelujah. And God is going to use the fathers. Amen. Fathers are so important to God's heart. So I want to bless you fathers this morning, every one of you, and the father of the house, Pastor Bill. I bring a blessing to you. I bless every father here this morning. And you are so important to God. Amen. You play a major role, not only in the family, but in the family of God, in the city of York, in the state of Pennsylvania, and in the nation of America. You are important to God. Amen. And I believe that we have such a mandate by God to carry out what he has called us to do. So today, I'm going to speak. It may not come as a sermon. It may not be, I'll be preaching at you or anything. But I'll be just sharing my heart. And I want to really inspire you. As a father, I just want to inspire you. And I'm just speaking as a witness of what I have seen. The early apostles, they turned the world upside down because they were witnesses. They were witnesses of what Jesus did. They walked with Jesus, and when Jesus left this earth, they turned the world upside down because they were witnesses. They saw what Jesus did. Amen. And how did Jesus operate? John 5:19, Jesus saw his heavenly Father instruct him daily. Amen. And in these perilous times that we live in, you know, we need to hear the voice of our Father. Amen. And that's how we could operate as well. And we are witnesses. So today I want to speak as a witness. I want to speak as a son, you know, to to honor, you know, my father. Hallelujah. And to honor the father of the house and every father who is here this morning to celebrate Father's Day. So in the book of Joel, we see the prophet is speaking, you know, to the children and to the next generation. Hallelujah. And here we see some important thoughts. And this morning, I want to, I'm reminded about my earthly father. And I'm going to share some things, you know, how I saw, you know, Christ, you know, formed in him and how he carried out his earthly mission. And one of the first things I want to share with you in carrying the legacy of a father, the first characteristic I saw in my father was he was a man who poured out himself into others. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 4, we see an amazing miracle that happened in the house of the widow, where Elisha the prophet came and he gave some instructions to this widow woman. She had come to the last barrel of oil. Many times in our lives, we have trials and situations. And in our own, in our family, many, you know, 45 years ago, we had such a crisis. I'm not going to go into all the details of the crisis, but with that crisis, my dad came to know Jesus. It was like the Apostle Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus. It was an amazing encounter. So the encounter that he had with Jesus, the experience he had with Jesus, he didn't keep it to himself. You know, the Elisha the prophet told the widow, you know, bring some empty, you know, jars. Empty jars. Amen. Our lives are like that. Empty jars. Amen. Beloved, this morning, God wants you and I to pour out everything what God has put on the inside of us into other people. Amen. And the moment we begin to pour out, my dad was a person who was a tea estate manager, and the British came to Sri Lanka and they colonized Sri Lanka. And one of the things they did is they planted tea, and they built an infrastructure in our nation, and one of the major, you know, exports was tea. And in the 60s and in the 70s, the tea industry was booming in Sri Lanka. And as a tea estate manager, you know, God really blessed him. He had a really nice house. It's like here in the U.S., the American dream. You can really live the American dream in Sri Lanka too. You know, a beautiful house, nice car, two cooks, gardeners, a swimming pool, a tennis court. Everything was good, but he didn't know Jesus. But now he had got to know God. So when God has blessed you, when God has abundantly poured out his love upon you, and when you have encountered him, when you have experienced his goodness, when you have experienced the preciousness of his word, don't keep it to yourself. Hallelujah. I went to university in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank God that I didn't stay in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Some of my friends are still, you know, stuck in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes people get constipated. Constipated with the things of God. Me and my good self, you know. Only me. Me, me, me. But God wants us to, you know, see others and to pour out our lives. Amen. And I saw my father, you know, doing that. And, all, you know, that's one of the things that stands out in pouring out his life. Ever since he encountered Jesus, he started preaching the gospel to the people whom he abused. It may have been verbal abuse. It may have been physical abuse, but the moment he had an encounter with the love of Jesus, he started sharing that. And so many people came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So one of the most important things, beloved, is using what God has given to us to preach the gospel. God has given every one of us a pulpit. Amen. It may not be the Abundant Life Center every Sunday for you to come and preach. But God has given you a pulpit outside the church. Amen. He's given us a home where we can, you know, really, you know, share the gospel. He's given us a job in the marketplace where you can pour out your, where you can pour out yourself into the lives of people. My dad didn't have a Bible college training. He didn't have theological experience. All he knew was Jesus. Amen. And they didn't know much of the Word of God when he started, but all he knew that God had touched him and saved him. Amen. His soul was saved, and he knew that. And he was passionate from the word go to share about the gospel. So he went about and he started pouring out himself. Beloved, when we begin to pour out what God has given to us, God will begin to pour into you. Amen. That's the key. Amen. When you begin to pour out, God will begin to pour into you, you know, fresh oil of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Freshness will begin to come. New ideas, witty inventions, strategies will begin to come when I'm pouring out myself into other people. Hallelujah. That's one of the first things I saw in my dad, that he was pouring out. Hallelujah. He didn't have everything. He didn't have everything together. You know, he didn't have a degree. He didn't have this and that. But he was pouring out. Just the love of God. And God began to bless it. Hallelujah. God sees our heart, dads. Amen. When we begin to pour out ourselves into other people, going from the church into the marketplace, amen, God will begin to pour into you. Amen. God will begin to bless you. Like the widow woman. Amen. The more empty jars she was bringing him, the more we empty ourselves, the oil will continue to flow. Hallelujah. The oil will not run out the more we empty ourselves. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. That's what I saw in my father every time. Not only when I was a kid, but until the time of death, I saw he was just pouring out. People would come to pray for him, and he would pray for those people, and he would pour out himself. He would go for a walk, and those walks are like 2-3 hours because he'd be witnessing to people on the road everywhere he goes. You know, he'd be witnessing. How are you? How's your family? How are your children? I'm praying for you. And sometimes he doesn't say, hey, you know, I've been praying for you, but my mom was checking out his journal. He has, you know, written down all these things, how he has been praying for people and how he has been pouring out his life into other people. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us to pour our lives into other people. Amen. And then he will pour into us. You will see a supernatural flow of the Holy Spirit. You will see supernatural things begin to happen in your life, in your family, in your children, and in your grandchildren. The generation is going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are just ordinary people. You know, we are not super talented. My dad was not super talented, but he had a good job. He worked hard. And all he was doing was pouring out Jesus into people's lives. And what did God do? He started multiplying. Hallelujah. The things of heaven was being multiplied into his life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Secondly, on this beautiful Father's Day, for us to carry the legacy of the Father, the second thing I saw in my father was he was willing to pay the price for other people. Hallelujah. Paying the price for other people. Many times, beloved, let's be focused on others. Amen. In my ministry, I've seen over the years, sometimes, you know, you're pouring out. Sometimes you say, Pastor, I've been pouring out myself into other people, but other people are not pouring into me. So God wants us to be focused on him. I'm doing it for him, amen, not for myself. I'm doing it for him, for his benefit. It's not for me to benefit from that, amen. But what's there for me in it? God will begin to bless you. Amen? Hallelujah. Where is it? I want it now. Sometimes we want it now. I want it now. I want it right now. No, God knows when to bless you. And the blessing of God, beloved, sometimes it may not be things. We want stuff here in America sometimes. People in Sri Lanka too. They've gotten used to stuff. I want stuff. I want things. The blessing of God, I'm telling you, is not stuff. Amen. But it's the hand of God that is upon your life. Amen. It's the voice of God speaking to you, leading you, guiding you every single day, helping you, molding you, giving you more peace. Hallelujah. Amen. This one man, he started boasting to me about all the success he had. And I was inside, I was just sorrowful. I was really sorrowful of, you know, his boastfulness. All I can see is people are reliant on things. Sometimes it can be a job. A good paying job, I'm reliant, I'm successful. Sometimes it's our family inheritance. I come from a really wealthy family. It's my family. So what happens is pride, you know, gets on the inside of us. That's not the blessing of God. You may think it's the blessing of God, but it's not the blessing of God. The blessing of God, friends, come when we begin to trust Him. Let's see if all those things are taken away. Amen. The blessing of God is when I trust Him. You know, my provision comes from Jehovah. Hallelujah. It doesn't come from my organization. It doesn't come from my family. But it comes from Jehovah. And He's the one who's blessing me. Amen. That's where the true blessing of God. He will help me in my job. He will empower me. Hallelujah. He'll give me promotions. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the blessing. The blessing is in Him. My source is in Him. Hallelujah, beloved. Amen. And we need to know, we got to get that into our heart. Hallelujah. So God, I saw this in my dad. He was willing to pay the price for others. How does it look like, Pastor? The way I saw it was, my dad had a beautiful house. It was an estate bungalow, beautifully polished, nicely kept, nice. It was really like a 5-star hotel, believe me. And a hotel here in America won't compare to that. It was so nice. Beautiful gardens. It was like those British gardens. But he was so, you know, excited about Jesus. You know, he opened up these rooms to people, ordinary people, to come and stay. He would feed them, no charge, just feed them. But they had to do something. They had to go out and, you know, witness to people. And everywhere he went, he planted a church. Of course, some of these people who came, they came with their church banner. They wanted to put their name on it. So my dad had the kingdom on his mind, not any other name, you know, the kingdom. So he helped so many people, but it's by having an open house. It saddens my heart sometimes. I preach the gospel and I see people who have beautiful houses and God's blessed them. And as a pastor, I know Pastor Bill can attest to that. Sometimes I see people, you know, so down, so much in trouble. Sometimes I hear people calling me, Pastor, I want to get divorced. And every week, oh, I'm going to get divorced today. So we go through this with them. You know, I can't stand this man. So you go through with these people, you know, sometimes. And after a while, you know, no job and everything is going bad. But as a man sent by God, we don't judge people, but we pray for them, right, Steve? Amen. Fathers, pray for people. You want to see the best in them. So they rise up and they do well. Marriage is prospering. business is prospering. And then what happens? Pride gets in. Pride gets in. And they forget where they were. And then, if the man of God is coming, they want to know, excuse me, when are you leaving? Even if it's for one night, they want you to know, are you leaving tomorrow? So sometimes, you know, it troubles my heart when I hear that, because I see where people have been. Amen? So it's pride. But God wants you, God wants us to open our hearts and open our homes, hallelujah, in a way with wisdom so that you can fulfill his mission. Amen? I mean, it's beyond what God, it's beyond your thinking of what God can do when we are open to people. Hallelujah. And when you have the spirit of hospitality on your life, you can really impact this generation. Hallelujah. And I saw, you know, how my dad was open to people, and they were not people who are like, who were able to do something. Sometimes people are like, what can you do for me, right? None of those people could do anything for us. But we were looking at the kingdom, you know, looking how we can impact the kingdom. And so why just have a some people, they want beautiful houses, and it's good for nothing, right? It's not glorifying God. It's like, look at my nice house. Who cares? You're not glorifying God in that. Amen. Look at my nice garden. Who cares? Not glorifying God in that. Amen. The birds are going and swinging and you're enjoying your home, but God wants us to use, you know, what he has given to us. It may be a home. It may be something else. God wants us to use. And when we open, you know, our homes, it may be your resources. I know my mom and dad, you know, we had two homes. One was by the government that was given. But everything was open to people. Our personal home where I live was like, there was not a single day that for breakfast there were people, for lunch there were people, for dinner there was people. Every day, it was nonstop. Ever since I left home, that was how my mom ran a house. You know, every day. And we had very simple meals, but there was food for everybody. Amen? There was food for everybody. And so, when we open our lives, open our homes, open our resources to people, you know, God will use you to impact his kingdom. Amen? And he will use you as a person, especially to touch the younger generation. Everybody who's come through that era in the 70s and 80s, they planted a church, they're in ministry, some form of a ministry. So I've seen how the Bible says in John 15, 13, greater man does not have any greater love does a man have that he lays down his life for his friends. John 15, verse 13. It's laying our life down for others. Amen. When we lay down our lives for the master, we are willing to lay our lives down for people. A lot of people don't want to lay down their lives for other people. Amen? They may want to lay down their lives for rich people, but they don't want to lay down their lives for poor people. But I saw my dad and my mother too lay down their lives for people, nothing to gain from it. Amen? It's not for profit. Nothing to gain. It's always give, and more giving. Amen? Sometimes you may wonder, you know, where is this going to end? The children are going to benefit from it. And the grandchildren are going to be blessed by what they're doing and what they're sowing in to the kingdom. Hallelujah. So I saw that, you know, there were people. Dad was a person who paid the price for others. He was kingdom-minded. Hallelujah. And through that welcoming spirit, you know, when you have a welcoming heart, you know, people want to come, right? And I'm not expecting a lot of those people who have been there. Some of them, you know, may not be thankful, may not be grateful, but that's not what we are expecting. We are expecting the kingdom go forth. Amen. Sometimes even a thank you is not what we want. We want to see if the kingdom is going forward. We want to see people being saved. We want to see people being discipled. We want to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We want to see the next generation come to know Jesus, not looking for a thank you, not looking for appreciation. But I want to see that there'll be rejoicing in heaven because of souls being saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It starts with you and I. Hallelujah. In opening our hearts and opening our homes. Hallelujah. And that's what many of you are doing. Hallelujah. And I know that it will have an impact on the next generation in what you're doing. Number three, in carrying the legacy of the Father, number one is pouring out our life into other people. Number two is paying the price for others. Number three is persevering through perilous times. Perilous times will come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks to Timothy that perilous times will come. In Sri Lanka, we've had many perilous times. You know, this generation, they saw terrorism now in Sri Lanka, but I've seen many, many cycles of terror and type of terrorist attacks in the past. Perilous times. I was only 12 years old when my mother came to my boarding school, picked me up, and all I saw was fire on the streets of Sri Lanka. There was a war between the Tamil people and the Sinhalese people. I was 12 years old. We drove for 6 hours in a small jeep. Myself, my brother, and my sister, all of us were driving with the driver and my mother. And all I saw was, you know, army personnel with AK-47 guns aiming at you. For 6 hours, we were driving. At any time, they could have shot us. There was no other vehicles going. And in the vehicle, there was about 7 gallons of diesel. And all the Sri Lankan mobs were looking for diesel to set fire to Tamil houses and businesses. And the streets of Sri Lanka was on fire. And as a young person, that's what I saw, terror and violence. But during those perilous times, I saw my dad not falter. And he was not anxious. And even as Pastor Bill thought this morning, that he was not fearful. And he didn't have a huge team behind him. But Mom and Dad went up to the mountaintop to pray for the tea estate workers who were there. There was about 900 people who worked for my dad. And all of them were Tamil ethnicity. So they were directly under much threat that their homes would be burned in a couple of hours. So during those times of trouble, during those perilous times in the 80s, what I saw in my father was he was a man of prayer. He went to the mountaintop and he started praying, you know, loud and fervently. He was praying for the people, his workers. He was praying for their homes. He was praying for the children, that the enemy will not come and set fire to the estate and to the workers. So the mob was coming up to set fire to the workforce. And suddenly, the leader of the mob saw a wall of fire around the estate and angels all around the estate and a roaring, a parade of vehicles coming towards them. I believe it was the roar of heaven. And they fled. And he came to my father and he said, "Sir, I want to know, you know, what were you doing last night at this time?" He said, "No, I was praying. My God is real. He's living. He's not dead." And he came to know, that person came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Many people in that village came to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. that in times of persecution, in perilous times, you know, God has given us a beautiful weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God in pulling down strongholds. It's called the weapon of prayer. Hallelujah. It's called the weapon of praise. It's called the weapon of worship. Hallelujah. And the powers of darkness will not stand. There was another time where Dad was transferred to a different estate, and he went there, and there was, at that time, we had a rebel group in our nation that rose up, and I was 18 years old, and when I was going to school, I saw dead bodies on the road. Pretty much every day, there were dead bodies. People were shot at, and they were on the road. So my dad was transferred to this new estate, and he goes there, and on the road, the former manager was murdered, you know, alive on the side of the road. All the workers who worked for him directly were murdered, and they were on the road. So my mother asked him, you know, what on earth are you doing in this estate? Why are you going here? Right? No person who has common sense would go to a place like that where the former manager has been dead, has been murdered. His co-workers have been all murdered. And what are you going to do? He heard from God, and God said to go. So he's a bold man. Hallelujah. In perilous times, God, you know, gives us not only the weapon of prayer, but the weapon of hearing his voice. Death and life are in that arena where we hear his voice. In these last days, we will overcome and we will be victorious when we hear his voice. God begins to speak to us. And today I'm alive, and I thank God that he heard his voice. And the leader of the group, the rebel group, came to my dad, put two guns on his head, and we said, if you don't help us and aid us in what we are doing, we're going to kill you. He said, I'll think about it, in how I can help you, and gave them a time to come and meet him in the evening. So they came back again, and they said, this is the help we need. We want you to drive us to the city. And my dad said, okay, I'll drive you to the city. And that takes courage. Amen. And on the way to the city, there are army checkpoints, and they check you, and they know that these are, you know, rebels. They will take you and put you in jail. So my dad would have to go to jail for this. But he had heard from God, and on the way, he started sharing the beautiful message of Jesus and how God had transformed his life. And both the rebel leader and his friend both got saved on that vehicle. And that man, you know, has planted a church now. And he's a pastor, and the other guy is a believer. So in perilous times, you know, God's given us weapons to persevere. Hallelujah. The weapon of prayer, hallelujah. The weapon of fasting and prayer. The weapon of hearing his voice. The weapon of worship, hallelujah, will give us the courage here in America to overcome the works of darkness. Even as Pastor Bill was sharing this morning, the enemy wants to put fear in people. And that's so true, Pastor Bill. He wants to bring cycles of fear. He wants to fear. That's his game plan. But God wants us to be full of faith, amen, and laugh at the enemy, hallelujah, because that's his plan. He tries to bring fear, amen. And God wants us to persevere through these perilous times that we face. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, what it says, Paul says, to fix our eyes upon Jesus, amen. We put our eyes on him, hallelujah, not on the problem, not on the violence, not on the terrorist atrocities that they are doing. We fix our eyes on Jesus. John 20:19, he grants us great peace, hallelujah. Amen. God gives us peace in the midst of these perilous times. Number four, and the fourth characteristic I saw in my father, and also my mom as well, is they pursued the Holy Spirit. They were lovers of Jesus. They were so much in love with Jesus. Sometimes when we look at our fathers, they may have weaknesses. We all do, right? Amen. But I'm sharing about the foundation I've had at home. It's very important that a father gives a foundation. But he didn't sit me down and say, this is the foundation, this is what you need. But I caught it. That spirit gets into you. If you're in a home like that, it gets into you. I was a rebel. I was away, you know, in sin. But that spirit had got into me. Amen. It's the Spirit of God. And there were people who hungered for more of Jesus. They were not willing to be comfortable in their comfort zone, but they said, I want more. Friends, this morning, God has more for us. God wants to pour out His Spirit. And they went to this Anglican church, and there was this Indian evangelist who had come. And they just went because they heard about him, that he was an awesome man of God. And many, many people around this man, they wanted to get prayed by him. And dad and mom just went. My dad went and talked to him and said, I'm so and so, and I'd like to meet you. And that man said, I'm coming to your house tonight. And that was a friendship that was struck. And then what happened with that meeting, revival broke out in the tea plantations. They were able to do many open air meetings with this evangelist. People are getting saved. Hallelujah. People are getting born again and healed by the power of the Spirit. And revival broke out in the hill, in the mountains of Sri Lanka. Hallelujah. Because of the hunger they had. Hallelujah. The hunger for more of God. Amen. Revival will break out. Hallelujah. That's one of the things, the qualities that God is looking, that He will pour out His Spirit to anybody who hungers and thirsts for more of Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God that until His deathbed, He was still hungry for God. Amen. Number five, and in closing, that dad, what I saw also in him was he had a passion for the nation. Our nation was always in war, and we had a 30-year-old war with the Tamil, you know, rebels. They were guerrilla warfare trained for 30 years, and this war was going on. Many people were dying, suicidal bombers, not like the terrorist attack that took place on the 21st of April, but this was ongoing in the north. And dad had a great burden for the nation, so he started telling some pastors about it. They said, no, you know, we are already praying. We don't need more prayer, you know. So, but he's a man who perseveres. He was able to get, you know, a few pastors, and then we got the whole city together. So then he went from city to city holding prayer meetings, praying for the nation. That was in the year 2000. And in 2009, the war ended. I'm not saying it was my dad's prayers. I believe that it's the corporate effort of the body of Christ and leaders coming together in the nation. But he was passionate for the nation. He was passionate to go around the nation and hold prayer meetings for the war to stop. And the war did stop. Hallelujah. But it took 9 years. With faith and patience, we will inherit the promises of God. Hallelujah. We got to have a heart for the nation. And I know that Abundant Life Center has a heart for this nation. Hallelujah. Pastor Bill has a heart for this nation. And not only this nation, but for the nations of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So thank God for that kind of a heart that Dad had for the nation. That he was not counting the cost. He would drive his own car, put his own gas, you know, sleep in people's houses. Real simple, nothing fancy. But the job is done. And that's what we need to concentrate on, that the job is done. Amen. So many times in America, we wonder, is this going to be paid for? Is this going to be paid for? Is that going to be my shoes are taken care of? My dad is taken care of? You know, get out of that. I'll get the job done. Amen. God wants us to get the job done. Amen. Because multitudes are in the valley of decision. Hallelujah. How am I going to survive? God will supply. Amen. God will supply above and beyond what you think. Hallelujah. He's the Almighty. He can supply. But I need to know how. And that's the mindset of the world. How? But God wants us to have a heart for the nation and get on with the job. And He will be behind us. He will supply everything you need. I remember when 9-1-1 happened, I was at Newark Airport at 9 in the morning, and the terrorists were probably boarding in the next count at United. And I boarded a Continental flight, and I saw Tower 1 on fire. Dad was invited for dinner. He was conducting these prayer meetings around the nation, and he was invited to a businessman's house for dinner. Just imagine that, probably Steve invites me for dinner. You know, maybe you might invite me for dinner, right, Steve? So if Steve invites me for dinner, so I come to your house, Steve, and you've cooked up a nice, you know, maybe a steak or something, you know? So you've done all the hard work, and Janet's made the vegetables and made a nice dessert. And what does this pastor say? Hey, I can't eat, but I want to go and pray. You'll be really disappointed. It may be very rude, right? I may not get invited again. But Dad went into this house, and they had made a beautiful meal, and they said, I can't eat, right? I can't eat. And that's what I like about Pastor Bill. Wherever he travels, God comes first. And if he wants to rest, he wants to pray. He said, hey, I can't do anything. I just want to rest and pray. And that's how we need to run our ministries. Amen. And Dad said, I can't eat. I need a room. Sometimes it may look rude. It may look impolite, but God comes first. In the kingdom comes first, because there's trouble awaiting. There's disasters awaiting. Sometimes we can't think about our belly and just being polite and pooping. But he started praying, and he had a burden to pray for me. Suddenly the Spirit of God came on him to pray for me. And God saved my life because of what he was doing in Sri Lanka, praying for me on 9-1-1. And God saved me from such disaster and atrocity that day because of the prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Passion for the nation. So friends, when we have a passion for the nation and we are praying for the nation, your children will be blessed. And your grandchildren, all of my father's grandchildren know the Lord. That's amazing. And even Joshua, he got filled with the Holy Spirit 1 month ago. He said, Dad, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He asked me questions when he comes after school. Dad, when is the rapture going to happen? Why is my friend Assad, why is he a Muslim? Why isn't he born again? So he has these questions, but Joshua, has that seed in him. All of his grandsons, all of them are preachers. They may be doing other vocations, but all of them have a passion for Jesus. One of the eldest grandson, he's a doctor, but he wants to be a missionary. And the others, all of them, even Aaron, he's an evangelist. He's got such a passion for evangelism. He will go on the streets and evangelize, strong heart for evangelism. And all of this happens, when our heart is completely sold out for Jesus. And I'm not saying my dad is like, he's a saint or he's perfect. He probably does have weaknesses. But what I witness is what I'm sharing with you. Amen. This is what I have witnessed. And what I'm saying is what I've seen. Hallelujah. And also, in closing, when he was sick and he was just about to go on to be with the Lord, his thoughts and what he was sharing was mostly about how we live our life here on this earth. And I remember very vividly, he was telling me, son, don't forget to have a heart for the poor. And he had a real heart for poor people. And it really breaks my heart. Sometimes I meet so many affluent people, but they don't have a heart for the poor. They look down on the poor. They look down on missions. You know, in 21st century, young people don't want to be missionaries. They don't want to go on missions. They want fancy jobs. Yeah, they want to be in big cities with big paying jobs in big churches. They don't want to go to the trenches. They don't want to share the gospel. They want to be in an air-conditioned room, listen to worship, and just be comfortable. Nobody wants to go out there and get the, you know, people think the Holy Spirit will do it. I know this person who wrote God's Generals, Robert Sladen, he said this, and he said it well. He said, when you flow with the Holy Spirit, there's also a lot of work to do. This generation doesn't understand the work to do. Amen. They think, you know, just soaking under the Spirit will get the job done. It's good to, you know, to be, but then we also need to do. Hallelujah. God wants us to be doers. Amen. Doers of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So I bless you, fathers, this morning. You know, I'm just sharing my heart with what I've seen. And I got a great mandate. And I'm not going to be my father. I'm not my father. I don't have the same calling. But I carry that same legacy. Amen. That apostolic anointing is on me. But in a different way, very prophetic, going to the nations. But he left a foundation in me. And I'm thankful for that foundation. I'm thankful that he lived a life that was completely sold out. And he also lived a life that was pure before God. Amen. No womanizing, no extramarital affairs, no controversy, none of that kind of stuff. But he lived a life before God. He had one problem, was he would see wrong things and he would get angry, right? And I saw how God, you know, molded his, you know, that problem in his heart. When he was on his sick bed, he became like a baby. And I saw the tender heart of God, you know, molding him and making him more like Jesus. So I'm very thankful to God for Dad and for his grace that was upon him, and now we carry the legacy. Amen. So exciting times are ahead of us. Hallelujah. And we have a great, you know, conference ahead of us. Let's keep praying for the meetings ahead of us. And dads, I bless you today. These are the last days, and God is pouring out his Spirit upon us. Don't worry about the terrorist attacks. Amen. We are going to terrorize hell. Hallelujah. Because God is looking for righteousness. God is looking for men who fear him. God is looking for people who walk in the Spirit. And hell hates it when men of God who are filled with him, that are rich towards him, when they walk in, you know, Satan begins to tremble. Hallelujah. Let's stand up this morning.